Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Adam, your night with Beards and Briscoe, if you won the prize that the three of you just get to hang out and do what?
Wow.
Yeah. So many possibilities. So much.
Can't somebody else win this prize? Why am I not winning this prize?
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Tuesday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We've got you for the next 4 hours. We'll talk some baseball today. We'll get into some NFL. Training camp continues to go on. Trade deadline today at 5 o'clock. We'll keep you up to date as any movement that'll take place with that. I'm assuming from now until 2 o'clock there'll be some more trades that will take place. Even if they're smaller, peripheral, sort of ancillary trades along the way, we will still keep you up to date of those. And certainly, if the Royals make a move, if there are any trades or traction or anything, or whispers, rumors around the Royals and any players they may be shopping or teams that might be interested in them, we will certainly talk about that as well. There is now less than seven hours until the trade deadline expires, and we'll see who is on the Royals moving forward. Names that have been talked about, by the way, just passing along, Jorge Lopez has been traded from the Orioles to the Twins. Twins sent along four players. I do not know the level of prospect or major league players or whatever the four players that were sent for Jorge Lopez. The other trades, looking at those last night, just to get an idea of what level of prospect was being sent for different players. So we can certainly get into that as well. But Jorge Lopez, the closer for the Orioles, former Rawl, is now heading to the Minnesota Twins in a trade deadline deal. So as the trades come in, we'll keep you up to date and let you know what's going on. And certainly we'll talk about the Royals and what they may do today, what the last couple of days may mean for today. We'll get into that before the show is over. We'll hear from the Kansas City Chiefs today. 11 o'clock is the expectation around there for when the Chiefs will talk, maybe a little bit earlier, maybe a little bit later, but right around there. They will talk today, and that is going to include Dave Tobe. It will include Tommy Townsend. I almost said Curtis Townsend. Like, why would?
Would have been news.
Is he recruiting in St. Joe for something? He's going to stop by training camp, and I mean, St. John said that Jarrett Sutton was up there, so maybe it's like a basketball day. Maybe it's a fun little basketball day, and Curtis Townsend's going to talk. I'm not sure. Dave Tobe, Tommy Townsend, George Karlaftis. Going to ask him how to pronounce his name. George, do you find it fun that people are having trouble with your name? Karlaftis? Those are the individuals that will be going today. Was I allowed to say the potential or just, hey, there's a potential of a player? I'm going to say it anyway.
Let's do this.
I'm going to say it.
Jason?
I'm going to do it.
Don't say it, Jason.
I should say it.
Hello, everybody. All I'm going to say is that usually in these instances, we get maybe three players and a coach. Usually we get at least three players in a day.
True.
And Orlando Brown Jr. has been seen on the practice field today in St. Joe.
Took first team reps today.
Did not practice, not currently practicing in the team drills. Was out there for 9-on-7s. That could change.
Did he already get hurt?
No.
No. An acclimation period.
It's an acclimation day.
This was
for
all
Orlando
part of
Brown.
It. He was doing some things, not all the things, but with the first drill out there, first team offensive line. Yes, indeedy. Orlando Brown is now your starting left tackle, and that is the biggest news of the day, is that it's no longer Roderick Johnson. It is now Orlando Brown Jr. So interesting that the Chiefs just, I mean, you want to talk about somebody that just feels like he's entitled. You just show up and all automatically you're just given the first team left tackle. What happened to competition? What happened to good old-fashioned fighting for your spot? You don't just walk in and be handed a position. So Orlando Brown is practicing today.
We'll see if he's properly acclimated by the time it becomes media time.
True.
That we don't know. I have two other things here from training camp already this morning. Our own Matt Derrick has tweeted that Sky Moore has walked back up the hill to the practice facility after a hard hit from Naze Johnson. Nothing urgent yet. He walked up the hill.
That's good
news. But, you know, something to keep an eye on there. And then Stephen St. John just tweeted that Leo Chanel laid a hit on Ronald Jones so hard that the media tent ended up delivering a loud response in return. So it sounds like there's some pads popping in St. Joe today.
He hit Ronald Jones so hard the people in the media fell backwards.
That's right.
Oh, jeez.
That's right.
Yes. Nick Jacobs tweeting right along the same lines as St. John that says Leo Chanel crashing down in the gap. He lays out Ronald Jones in a team drill. So that's good to know. I mean, that's a rookie going up against a veteran. I mean, that's a vet, Ronald Jones. So Leo Chenault's a guy that people have talked about how good he can be when he's going straight ahead, when he's blitzing or crashing in crashing a gap and attacking the line of scrimmage. He's really good at that. And so, you know, that, I guess, shows off and showcases one of his talents and one of his strengths as to why he was drafted by the Chiefs in the third round. So,
yeah, it was even obvious in mini camps. I think I can hashtag exclusively report this. In mini camps, it was evident Leo Chanel's not ready for prime time in terms of, like, being in space, being in coverage against any professional pass catcher.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can just thump dudes for, like, his rookie season and show a little bit of incremental growth there, Nick Bolton from college to his rookie season took a huge jump in that category. So I'm a little bit pumping the brakes just because I don't want to say Leo Chanel's going to be prime Patrick Willis immediately.
You don't want to say
excited.
That?
I'm excited. I kind of want to say it, but I'm not going to just yet out of a duty to the listener to be responsible.
Briscoe thinks Chanel is a couple of practices away from Ray Lewis.
Better than Ray Lewis.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, thank you.
At
least just accurately represent me, please.
I did not want to sell you short,
I
apologize.
Thank you very much
for doing that.
I don't forgive you.
So we will talk some Chiefs today. There is a chance we'll hear from Orlando Brown. So that could take place today. If not today, probably be a pretty good chance tomorrow that we would hear from Orlando Brown. So we'll see, but we'll hear from the Chiefs today. Coming up in maybe an hour or so whenever practice is over. Adam Teicher will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. You know, typically we talk to Adam at 11 o'clock, but that would be odd if we had a conversation while he's sitting there in the tent with the media while the other people are talking and we're discussing things with Adam. That would be rude. So we don't want to do that. So we will wait till 1 o'clock. Adam will do his job, and then he will hang out with us in the 1 o'clock hour and get his thoughts on what he's seen over the last week or so, because we talked to him last Tuesday, and that was the off day before camp really started to get rolling. And a couple of things that I asked him was, you know, wanting to know what his storylines, what his focus was going to be on. And his number one thing was looking at, you know, the defensive line and looking at wide receivers. And let me pull up exactly, you know, what he had said. I'll have it exactly when I actually talk to him.
A lot of pages to flip through.
Well, I've got them all right here. Number one was the defensive line. Number two, he had at left tackle position in Orlando Brown. So that has been figured out now. And number three was the wide receiver position, specifically Sky Moore. So, I mean, there's at least some takeaways.
There's some movement today.
Some observations from that. So the defensive line, what's he seen from Karlaftis? Frank Clark is skinny Frank Clark. Carlos Dunlap has been signed since the last time. I mean, those three things. So since the last time we talked with Adam Teicher, in the last week, those were his 1, 2, 3. Number one, Frank Clark is now skinny, and they signed Carlos Dunlap.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Orlando Brown is reported to camp and is practicing by the next time Adam Teicher and I talked. Number three, while Sky Moore is walking back up the hill, he's been one of the darlings early on in training camp, has been Sky. So Will wide receivers overall and Sky Moore. So we'll talk with Adam Teicher coming up at 1 o'clock. Any other observations that he's seen, takeaways from the first week, things he's heard as well. And we'll see what goes on today as well. 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810 is the text line. And we'll at some point get back into the Deshaun Watson ruling. Reading a lot about it last night, trying to figure out all of the different ins and outs in the CBA and what Judge Sue Robinson was going off of and why she went with six games and the, you know, history with the NFL and the due process issue, which is what a lot of this comes down to, and why six games was the magic number and the mitigating and aggravating factors that went into her decision, and then what the decision now is going to be for the NFL, what the pros and cons of the NFL if they were to appeal or just simply stay with the status quo, what the impacts of that could be. Doing a lot of that, developing more thoughts. And oddly enough, while there's been a lot of, you know, this is just simple, what any judge would have done is what Sue Robinson did, because she was working within the confines of the CBA and precedent and looking at things that were written. And if you want to have then the nonviolent sexual assault, which labeling it nonviolent is a conversation for probably the appeals process if the NFL wants to go down that route, then the NFL, you know, with due process would have to then include that. And so therefore the players and the union would have to know what the punishment would be for whatever crime they may be committing, or non-crime, or just conduct policy in general, personal conduct policy, that those things would have to be implemented. And the only thing that they did was, after Ray Rice, they put in a minimum six games for the violent offenses for the NFL personal conduct policy. And that seemed to be that six games was a very big sticking point for her, which we can get into and talk about as well. So
yeah, I figure I'll hold some of it till we really have time to kind of have all the space we need to talk about this today. Yeah. But the idea of, hey, there's no precedent for this in punishment, being uncoupled from the fact that there's no precedent in this from a offender perspective.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places where I would have some very direct questions about the judge's logic, and then also what the NFL does now. Because whenever people say that he's been suspended for six games, that is step one, with a second step still to come, where the NFL is going to make some news one way or the other on if they want to extend it or appeal it or not. And so that's going to take another day or two.
Well, here's the other thing, too, and we'll get into this.
It could take another day or two.
Right. We'll get into this later on, just in more in depth. But something else that we'll talk about later on, and no problem pointing it out now and even a couple of times, because this is a part of the timeline, is what the NFL is thinking about doing. September 11th is the first game. So you've got about 5 weeks. If the league were to appeal, Roger Goodell would have his decision before then. So if he goes with a year-long suspension or an indefinite suspension in the appeal, you can 100% expect that Deshaun Watson and his camp will then sue the NFL, and you can 100% expect that Deshaun Watson, his camp, lawyers, the Players Association, will then file an injunction for a stay of his punishment, of his suspension. And therefore, there's a pretty decent chance that September 11th, Deshaun Watson would be on the field playing football. And just as if we talk about precedent, think back to Deflategate with Tom Brady. May 11th, 2015 is when the NFL rendered the punishment for Deflategate for the Patriots, and then specifically Tom Brady with his four games. He appealed. The appeal was denied by Roger Goodell. Shocker. Brady then sues the NFL. September 3rd, before the season starts, U.S. District Court ruled in favor of Brady and allowed for there to be a stay of the suspensions. The NFL then immediately appealed that. Brady was allowed to play throughout 2015 while the appeal was going on to the U.S. Court of Appeals. That hearing was March 3rd, 2016, is when they had the hearing in the U.S. Court of Appeals. April 26th, the suspension was reinstated. May 23rd, Brady filed an appeal. July 13th, the Court of Appeals denied his appeal. July 15th, Brady announced he will not appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, has dropped it, will serve his four-game suspension in 2016, starting on September 11th, 2016. 603 days after the punishment was announced, Brady served his first game of a four-game suspension. That's, to me, is at least part of what the NFL would like to avoid.
Yes, they have
if
to.
If they don't appeal to go to a year, part of it would be this lasting until 2023's football season. Although, if he's allowed to play this year on his $1 million salary, if he were to be suspended all of next year, he would then lose that entire $46 million salary.
What a shame.
So, just something to keep in mind. We'll get into some of those later on. But trade deadline day.
I got some sparks for you over here on the stove. You want to hear some sparks off the stove?
Is it from Mark Feinsand?
There's that, and then there's also one outside of what the Royals are doing.
Okay,
which one do you want to do,
outside or inside?
Oh, let's go outside first.
You're outside, I'll go inside.
You go inside, I'll go outside.
You know what? I like the AC. I'll be inside
I
right
would
now.
Rather be inside, but right now I'm trying to be outside because it's hotter outside, and that's where the stove is warming up.
You're right.
John Morosi says the Nats are in the process of calling up multiple minor leaguers to the MLB club. Sign that trades are imminent. I saw a report, can't cite the source on this one. It was either early this morning or late last night, that it seems like the Padres, the likely landing spot for Juan Soto.
Cardinals are in on it.
We'll see where that ends up. But it does sound like, shocker of all shockers, the Nats really are sticking to their guns on this. It looks like Juan Soto likely to be on the move today. But take me back inside, Jason. What's indoors inside here? It's nice and cool in here.
It's hot out there. There's a little bit more to that. So that is a little bit hotter.
It's a little
when you're
spice.
Talking about the minor leaguers being brought up.
But I want to know what's going on in Kansas City.
Okay. So that's on the outside. Let's come on the inside.
Inside.
Okay. It is now air conditioning time.
Love it in here.
Mark Feinsand, MLB.com, says about 20 minutes ago, the Royals could be busy today.
Uh-oh!
As the markets for one Scott Barlow,
ooh,
Michael A. Taylor,
uh-oh,
and Josh Stallmont are heating up.
Hot stove!
Per sources.
It's still a hot stove at the trade deadline.
The stove has been turned on. It is heating up. It is not hot yet. It is heating up.
Ooh.
Outside, it's hot because the Nats are actually calling up prospects. Here's where I could say maybe the Royals might be a little bit hotter in terms of their stove.
Yeah, what's the Royal stove at right now?
The fact that they traded for cash considerations to the Mariners for a relief pitcher that was DFA'd.
Mm.
And then last night, they traded El Pupo, Emmanuel Rivera,
mm-hmm,
for Luke Weaver, who was a failed starter, but was moved to the bullpen this year, middle of the year, and has been pitching out of the pen as a reliever in July. That means in the last, I guess, as of last night, so now 36 or so hours, the Royals, or no, 24 hours or so, the Royals have acquired two different bullpen arms.
Curious.
One that will be with the big league club, announced that Luke Weaver will join the big league club, and another that is immediately placed on the 40-man roster, who then could be called up because he would be on the 40-man roster as a reliever. And the markets are heating up, per sources to Mark Feinsand, for Scott Barlow and Josh Stallmont. Also, game one, my brother sent me this text last night, and I thought it was a good point. Game one of a series, last night, Scott Barlow throws a two-inning save. Two-inning save. Game one of a series. Mike Matheny was not trying to save Barlow for the next couple of games just in case. You throw him out there for the eighth where he goes up against, like, what, 2-3-4, whatever it might have been in the order, but brings him back out for the ninth. What does Barlow throw? Like 40-some-odd pitches last night, which means he wouldn't be available tonight for the Royals to go. So you get the last whatever gas is left as a Royal for Scott Barlow last night. He goes and gives you two innings of shutout baseball. You win the game 2-1, and then you say, appreciate it, Scott. Best of luck in the postseason. Go get him.
Do you remember
the
what
times?
We said during a break yesterday about Brad Keller?
I remember that.
I don't know that we ever said it on air. The
I
most interesting thing that Brad Keller could have done yesterday was to get scratched. We haven't even acknowledged that. We nailed it. Daniel Lynch got out there. It's super interesting and pretty darn good. If he just had like scales on his fingers, he'd be a Cy Young winner. You just got to stop getting blisters.
We nailed
and
it in the break.
What's going on with Brad Keller?
Where's Brad Keller?
We crushed it off air yesterday.
Because we were talking about Brad Keller's going tonight, and you're like, the most interesting thing about Brad Keller is if he was traded. I'm like, yeah. The most interesting thing about Brad Keller going tonight is if he were scratched. All right, welcome back. Let's talk some Chiefs football.
We could have called that shot. And I know in theory Brad Keller's supposed to start tonight now. In theory, they just wanted to get Daniel Lynch back in the rotation.
Yeah.
Very strange.
They moved him a start that would first pitch 2 hours after the trade deadline. So they don't have to scratch him from the start.
Curious.
They just, you know, I guess he would be scratched again tonight, but they moved him to what would be 2 hours after. They could have pitched Daniel Lynch tomorrow.
They sure could have.
Or today. Could have had Brady Singer. Or they could have moved Brady Singer to tomorrow and had Daniel Lynch go today and stayed with Brad Keller last night.
But they didn't.
They did not.
What's going on in Kansas City?
Something's going on in Kansas City, Brian Windhorst fingers going back and forth.
I think the Royals stove right now, the moves that we've already seen, the smaller, more transactional moves, first of all, on a dangerously serious note, even that appeals to me a little bit. Like, I understand that Luke Weaver is not your long-term solution for much of anything at this point. He got controlled through the rest of this year and next year. If you liked Emmanuel Rivera, you probably don't like this trade. The Royals clearly didn't think a whole lot of Emmanuel Rivera.
I didn't either.
So switch your stuff around. Like, that I am cool with baseball teams doing the... I saw somebody on Twitter last night called it the bored halfway through a fantasy season trade. It's like, I'm kind of tired of Emmanuel Rivera being on my roster. You know what? We're kind of tired of Luke Weaver. You guys want to swap? Yeah, bleep it. Who cares? We're in 8th and 9th in this 10-team fantasy league. Sure, we'll make that swap. But we talked about the Royals being more transactional. So I was going to say I think the stove is at a 4 for the Royals. Okay.
But it's on, though.
I think it's at a 5.
Well, they traded Benintendi.
I think it's at a 5.
So, I mean, if Benintendi's been traded, the stove has been on. It's just a matter of, do you then drop it to a simmer?
I think...
Like, it was boiling when Benintendi was getting traded.
I think Benintendi got it up to, like, a 3 because you
really?
Knew... You had to get the burner up to a 3 to get Andrew Benintendi at it. There was... Keeping him didn't make a lot of sense in almost any outcome. So I think they got it to a 3. Maybe a 4. Maybe it simmered down a little bit. But I think we're back up to a 5 right now. I think you wouldn't... Maybe you see a couple of bubbles in your pot of water. It's hot enough to sear a piece of chicken. But you're not making pasta in this water yet. It's not a rolling boil by any means.
Very, very quickly, how do we feel about Bob Nightingale?
I mean, pretty good. By the way, Bob Nightingale reported Ned Yost retiring and Mike Matheny will be the next manager before any of that happens. So, I mean.
He says the Padres are getting close to landing Juan Soto. Deal's not yet finalized. And then also Jim Bowden just tweeted, there's strong momentum for Juan Soto to the Padres.
First reported by Joshua Briscoe on The Zone.
There you go.
Was it really?
I'm pretty sure I had that about 2 minutes ago. I think I nailed this one.
Okay. Giving you credibility.
I appreciate that.
There you go.
Yeah, Josh, from both sides here say
insiders go.
I don't see any problem with that.
No,
mine's no issue.
There actually isn't an issue with that. The reports are that the Cardinals will not include Dylan Carlson in the trade package for Juan Soto. The Nationals have demanded Dylan Carlson, or it's a non-starter. And if they do not include Dylan Carlson, then Soto will be a Padre or a Dodger. And if you're the Cardinals,
don't do it because we want you to be bad.
I was going to ask you guys about this.
But here's the thing. But if you're the Cardinals and you've got outfielder Dylan Carlson, 23-year-old, finished 3rd in Rookie of the Year voting last year, a lot of hope and promise as to what he could be this year, took him in the first round a few years ago out of high school, so he's been a part of your organization a while. You've got team control for him for a while. Cheaper player. Or are you better off with Juan Soto over the next 3 years and paying him a crap ton of money to be Juan Soto, who, by the way, isn't he the same age as Dylan Carlson? Soto, 23 years old?
That sounds about right. I understand the pocketbook
issue. Yeah, he's 23.
But your option here is to part with your beloved prospect for 23-year-old Ted Williams.
Well, they're parting with beloved prospects, but Major League Baseball player Dylan Carlson, who finished third in the rookie year last year, and is OPSing over 700 right
better,
now.
Is there a better word? There needs to be a middle of the building block, I guess. You're young enough that you're not a veteran, but you're no longer a prospect.
Potential future star? Young potential
it's
future
kind of
star?
Mouthful.
Yeah, I know, right?
We need one word. I'll work on it.
You find the one word but also prospect doesn't just tell the story because a lot of it
you're
is
right.
highly regarded prospect.
You're right. That's true.
Or much coveted prospect. Like for Juan Castillo, the fact that Cincinnati brought back the Baseball America does the midseason updates for their top 30 rankings in every organization. Luis Castillo brought back Noel V. Marte, Edwin Arroyo, Levi Stout, and then Andrew Moore, who was on the big league club in Seattle as a bullpen guy. Noel V. Marte, midseason update, the Mariners' number one prospect. Edwin Arroyo, midseason update, Mariners' number two prospect. Levi Stout, midseason update, Mariners' number 10 prospect. They got three top 10 prospects from the organization, and Marte and Arroyo are both top 50 overall prospects in all of Major League Baseball for Luis Castillo. So that's to where it's like, well, they got three prospects from them. They didn't get three prospects from the Mariners. They got a freaking haul from the Mariners for Luis Castillo, who still has team control for a year, so it's not a rental player, right? So you better give up something if you're Seattle. You want to finally make the playoffs again, and this guy, you'll have him next year as well, so they're making deals, they're making moves with the Mariners, but they are paying a steep price for Luis Castillo. So there's got to be something for different level of prospect,
for sure.
Because the Mariners traded three prospects for Luis Castillo, and the Yankees traded three prospects for Andrew Benintendi.
There's a hierarchy.
Yeah, you figure out the word.
Dylan Carlson is 2 days older than Juan Soto.
Man,
2 days.
Crazy. That is crazy.
Hot stove timer's up.
Hot stove. The first segment timer is up. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. Want to get into a little bit more about what the last couple of days have been for the Royals. What today could be for the Royals. We'll hear from the Chiefs coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Got a lot of Chiefs football to talk about today. Some other things in the NFL. Adam Teicher at 1 o'clock. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Nice job, Josh.
Nice job, Dylan.
Nice job, Christopher. Way to go, Beards.
Thank you.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So looking at, real quick, the Jorge Lopez deal.
You were in the lab during the break. People don't notice.
Yeah,
you were in the lab.
Like, I was trying to see and look up the Lopez deal and what the Baltimore Orioles got back
kind
in exchange for Lopez to the Twins.
Spreadsheets.
That's right. Bunsen burner was there working. They got right-handed pitcher Yennier Cano. They got Juan Nunez, also right-handed pitcher. Both those guys are 28 years old. One still in A-ball. Another that's with the big leagues for a little bit. And then Cade Povich, who midseason at Baseball America was the number 21 prospect for the Minnesota Twins. For Jorge Lopez. There's also another low-level prospect, according to Rosenthal, that will be heading back to the Orioles in exchange for Jorge Lopez. So, doesn't really feel like there was a whole lot to that. I'm looking at preseason now just to see like if any of them showed up anywhere else on this. And no. So we'll see what the Royals can get back for Scott Barlow. But Difference being, Barlow's got team control next year and through 2024. Staumont's got team control all through next year as well. So just wanted to look that up as well. 913-912-4810. We have an update with Orlando Brown at practice. He has left the field, but this is what is planned. He's going through the acclimation period. So he has left the field. But Josh, there's an update with Orlando Brown in a press conference today. What?
Stephen St. John of Sports Radio 810 WHB says Orlando Brown will be speaking to the media after practice today.
Does he bump anybody, or he just they add him to the list? It's now four people.
That list
players.
Looked a little short this morning. Now
well,
I believe
be tall with Orlando Brown.
I believe it got some size back. I believe it has gotten a little taller, a little more expensive, a little bulkier. By all reports, Brown looked pretty good at camp today. So yeah, we now expect to hear from Dave Tobe, Orlando Brown Jr., Tommy Townsend, and George Karlaftis.
Yeah. Check that. Let me rewind. It's usually three players with a coach.
Right.
So it was announced two players with a coach.
Correct.
Dave Tobe, Tommy Townsend, and George Karlaftis. So they were leaving room for somebody to be added at that time.
You
not
leave
to
a seat
bump
out.
Somebody else.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. More updates on Juan Soto. The Padres are on the verge of acquiring Juan Soto. They are in the final stages. The Padres getting Juan Soto. So, Padres not messing around. They
also,
get Hader and they get Soto. We'll see. They end up landing Soto.
We also should get some sort of update, probably just from the Chiefs, on if there's any official word on Sky Moore. Again, no report that he made it back down to the practice field at any point. Walking up the hill on his own is certainly a good sign, but any sort of nick or knock during training camp makes you a little nervous. Patrick Mahomes out there today, by the way. So all of that from yesterday seems good.
All right. So we'll see what happens. Anything with the Royals as well. So Juan Soto was obviously the big name that's going on nearing the final stages with the Padres. That's now just coming down. It seems some of the other reports today, the Cardinals are not willing to put in Dylan Carlson into the deal. They want to do a deal, but not with Dylan Carlson. They want both Soto and Carlson. And the Nationals have simply said without Carlson, we're moving on, which meant that the Padres and the Dodgers were the most likely to land Juan Soto. And it looks like the Padres are the ones that are willing to go more all in on that. Does that include, C.J. Abrams, Robert Hassel? I mean, Camposano, catcher, all these guys that were, top 100 prospects in Major League Baseball that were part of the Padres system that, you build the farm system to either then those guys advance to the big leagues and you then have these really good players, or a Juan Soto becomes available and you go, okay, well, hey, we've got three players in the top 50 and we've got two top 25 prospects in all of baseball. So here's a young shortstop, C.J. Abrams. Here's an outfielder in Robert Hassel III. Here's a catcher in Luis Camposano. Here's an outfielder in James Wood that's also the 62nd best prospect in baseball. And we'll throw in Jackson Merrill, the 84th. But like, they've got five guys in the top 80 of the updated midseason top 100 at Baseball America. The Padres have the ammunition, and I'm tired of people calling the Padres a small market team. Just as I'm tired of the Houston Astros being called a small market team. Define market, please. Small market. Yeah, they're a small market. They are the biggest grocery store chain in a village. And it's like, they're just part of this small town. It's a small town grocer. Just a small town grocer. No, they're not. But they've got the resources, and we know in San Diego they should have the money as well to be able to sign said Juan Soto.
On a familiar name note, Mike Petriello, now of MLB.com, tweeted, just tell me how this deal ends with Eric Hosmer playing first base for the Nationals. And then the Cespedes Family Barbecue Twitter just quote tweeted it with Big John Wall on the Rockets energy. Just looked it up. Do you know how much money's hanging around here on the remainder of Eric Hosmer's deal with the Padres?
So still got like 70?
It's, you know what, actually, it drops off after this season from $20 million in base salary to a mere $13 million in base salary.
Yeah, I'm a number of years off, obviously, on that.
He has three $13 million years after this year to get him to a full 131 on the life of the deal.
Per John Morosi, the Padres and the Nationals have agreed in principle on a Juan Soto trade with Josh Bell also going to San Diego.
Okay.
All righty, then.
So Josh Bell.
Beards McFly. Oh. Beards McInsider. Good report, Beards.
It's McInsider Helm.
Whoa. I didn't say that.
Who?
Nobody. Don't worry about it, man.
Josh Bell this year with the Washington Nationals so far is OPSing at almost 900. He has almost as many walks as strikeouts, an on-base percentage of 384. He's OPS plusing at 152.
Padres are going to have Juan Soto and Fernando Tatis on the same roster. If Fernando Tatis is your second best player, things are going well.
What's the rule on players that are traded? Because a three-team trade, then guys will move different teams. I ask because Josh Bell is a free agent after this year.
Oh.
And he's 29. So can the Nationals then flip Josh Bell before 5 o'clock to a team that needs an outfielder? That maybe the Padres weren't going to trade Josh Bell unless it was for Juan Soto. So if another team was like, hey, we're trying to contend, let's get Josh Bell. No, we're also trying to contend, and he's an everyday player for us, okay? He's our first baseman, or DH, or different places, you know, Hosmer, whatever. But he's on our team, and he's leading the league in games played because he's played every day. So we're not just going to trade you him. But for Juan Soto, we'd be willing to move him. Okay, so CJ Abrams, Robert Hassel, James Wood, and Jarlan Susana. So yep. Abrams, Hassel, and Wood. So Abrams, the number 11 prospect in all of baseball. Hassel, the number 25 prospect in all of baseball. James Wood, the number 62 prospect in all of baseball. With Josh Bell. And then where is Susana is the number 10 prospect with the Padres. So they got the Padres 1, 2, 4, and 10, and a 29-year-old who's OPSing at almost 900 right now, but is a free agent. They also get the number 11, 25, and 62 prospects in all of baseball. And again, I don't know the rules, so could they then flip Josh Bell to another team to then grab a prospect or two for Josh Bell? And then you would say they got Abrams, Hassel, Wood, Susana, and then whatever they may get back in a Josh Bell trade. I don't know.
You just explained why this is a pretty good haul. And there's just no feasible way, if you took the cash out of it, if you took the contract and the money out of it, which obviously is a huge part, but like if that is not a factor, as it appears not to be a factor in San Diego, they're handing out money like crazy. There's no world in which all of those guys combine to have half of the impact of one Juan Soto. It just... That math is unwinnable whenever you have a player that has been as elite, as young as Soto has been. And I also understand why the Nats had to do it, because they weren't going to put a 5 at the beginning of that. Jeff Passan also right now putting it out himself. San Diego Padres finalizing a deal to acquire superstar outfielder Juan Soto from Washington. One of the biggest deals in baseball history goes down, and it sends the 23-year-old to San Diego. Oh, yeah. Where he will team with not just Fernando Tatis Jr., but also Manny Machado. America's team. The San Diego Padres.
Small market team, man.
Listen, they fixed their jerseys a few years ago. They added a good City Connect this year. Now good things happen to them. Good things happen to teams who go back to their iconic color schemes. Are you listening, Arizona Diamondbacks?
You should be.
Really should be.
Why would you not be listening? C.J. Abrams, in his short career with the Padres so far, as a 21-year-old, in 46 games, he's only OPSing at 600 as a 21-year-old in Major League Baseball, playing shortstop, second base, and also right field as well. But according to MLB.com, so Robert Hassel is a 20-year-old outfielder who this year is OPSing at almost 900 with 10 home runs, 19 doubles, a triple as well. And then James Wood is OPSing over 1,000 this year. Now you're talking about a 19-year-old James Wood who's at single A and a 20-year-old Robert Hassel III who's at high A. Younger guys, and Susanna, who is an 18-year-old in rookie ball as a right-handed pitcher.
From the NFL side here, Ben Volen tweets out that safety Jordan Poyer left Bills practice, quote, suffering a potentially serious arm injury.
Damn it.
I don't know
I don't care who they play for. I don't want to see injuries in training camp. I don't care who they play for.
Not fun.
I hated what was happening last year with the Ravens, and I hate it for the Bills. I know some people might look at it different, like, oh, you know, it happens, it's attrition, and too bad. No, because I obviously don't want it to happen here, so I just want everybody to get through training camp healthy.
Turn off injuries at least until
September.
Why not? September.
Why can't you just turn off injuries? Stop playing at all-pro level. Just turn off injuries for training camp and all season long as well.
That would be a big loss to the Bills defense there. Again, I was going to say that I don't know how you can... the only way I think you can scope an arm injury as being serious from where most media stand during training camps is for it to be very unpleasant, would be my fear. So we'll see on that.
If somebody says he suffered a serious injury...
I have bigger NFL news.
Okay.
The Dolphins have forfeited a 2023 first-round pick and a third-round pick in 2024 due to Stephen Ross's investigation. He's been suspended through October 17th, 2022 after a league investigation.
And that's the Dolphins, Brian Flores investigation, the Brian Flores lawsuit?
I think that's about, I'm checking right now, that's about tampering, which I think, might end up, I don't know if that goes back to Tom Brady and Sean Payton, or if that goes to Brian Flores. We can take a break, I can try to figure that out as we go. But the Dolphins are losing a first round pick in 2023 and a third round pick in 2024.
Field Yates' wording on that is it's part of the investigation into the integrity of the game policy. So I don't know which.
So
that
could have been about
it.
Paying for losses,
paying for tanking.
Yeah, that. So there could be a lot. I'm sure there is a lot going into that. I'm sure it's more than just one element. But good call there, Field Yates. As a part of an investigation into the integrity of the game policy, the Dolphins have forfeited their 2023 first and 2024 third round pick, and owner Stephen Ross has been suspended through October 17th, 2022.
Okay. So he's going to miss a month or so of games. The owner will. So,
really going to see how that affects their win-loss ratio.
Yeah.
Not having him out there on the field is going to be tough, Beards.
2023 first rounder. They gave up their 2022 first rounder for Tyreek Hill.
Also, Passan says that the Nationals are getting left-handed pitcher Mackenzie Gore in addition to the other names we've already talked about.
Is that all?
It's Gore, Hassel, Abrams, Wood, Susanna.
I mean,
busy hour.
Here's the thing. I don't want to break, Beards. Stop telling me to break because there's a lot of stuff going on right now.
I want to hear from Dave Tope.
What about Orlando Brown?
I'd like to hear from him as well.
Okay.
We should probably take a break.
So.
Stove is hot! And Stephen Ross had a longer suspension than Deshaun Watson.
Is Deshaun Watson's 6 weeks to October 17th, I guess?
I don't know.
After?
I just read it from a tweet. Seemed right.
No, that sounds about right. Okay. So, Mackenzie Gore also heading to the Nationals. who is on the DL, but 23-year-old lefty who was a former first-round pick, third pick overall in the 2017 draft. I mean, and before last year, he was the number 10 prospect in all of baseball going into the 2021 season. So,
Beard, should I read Field Yates' tweet again? Or
no.
So, as a part of
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Alexa, tell the government that I did pay my taxes this year. Thank you.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right. So, the trade.
You got this.
Juan Soto, Josh Bell. Bell and Hosmer are going to trade teams playing first base. So the Padres, which makes sense. The Padres do not now have multiple players at first base with Bell and Hosmer. They have traded Hosmer along with the prospects and Mackenzie Gore, major league player, for Soto and Josh Bell. So the Padres have just taken their first baseman in Eric Hosmer. Fine player. Having a fine season, OPSing at 727. And exchanged him for Josh Bell, OPSing at almost 900. And added Juan Soto. And they gave up a left-handed pitcher on the DL right now, or IL, and prime prospects.